Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Trommels den regn off my kopp. Hink via däckar måste si klein var den topp. Geht mir kein Sach mit. Die Trommels.
Welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I'm your host, Judy Gold. I am now 60 years old, and I'm Judy Gold, old gold Judy. Anyway, this week we have part two of my conversation with Al Franken, and it was so fun to do this interview in person, and it was right after the election. And so this part two has a lot of politics in it. And I think you're going to find it fascinating. I did. And there was so much more I wanted to ask him. And I do miss him in the Senate. You know, I feel like that was a fucking mistake. So I think you're going to really, really, really love it. Okay. So let me just tell you a couple things. I was so fucking surprised on my birthday. Henry and Elisa both planned this fucking, I can't even tell you. I had a small dinner and then I thought that was the end of my birthday. You know, Henry tells me he left his wallet at the Comedy Cellar. So of course I'm like, oh God, I was so mad because it was raining. We had to walk over to the Comedy Cellar and I'm screaming at him. And then I walk in and the room is packed and I got roasted by the greatest comics, Rich Voss, Ophira Eisenberg, John Fish, Colin Quinn, Sherrod Small, and Elisa was fucking hilarious. And people came from all over. My friend Gary Corden came from LA, and all my tennis friends were there. Peggy and Patty and Julie and Polly and Jenny and Gillian, like all my tennis friends who I couldn't fuck. And then my friend's friends. And then like Jay Cohen made the best cake. Shoshana Bean sung happy birthday to me. Benj Pasek was there. I mean, I feel like I shouldn't say all these people because I'm going to miss someone, but everyone, Elisa's sister Jill came with her husband Al and our nephew Jaden. Oh, there's Jews, and my sister came, and my niece, and blah, 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 blah. There was a lot of Jews, but there was a lot of non-Jews, and it was so, and Liz at the Comedy Cellar, who's the fucking bomb. I mean, I can't believe everyone kept this for me. Liz Furiati, who runs the fucking place, and Noam Dorman, who owns the Comedy Cellar. Like, everyone. I was literally in shock, and I fucking loved it. And I love getting picked on and you know, abused by my fellow comics. There's no greater honor. So to everyone who came, thank you, thank you, thank you. To everyone I missed mentioning, sorry. But it was just a fucking night to remember, and it's recorded. So I'm going to watch it 150 times. Million times. And then I got some videos from like my friend Wendy Liebman and Susie Essman and Joy Behar, and who else sent me? Oh, Tom Papa. Oh, he's not Jewish, but he grew up in New Jersey. You know, and my friends, and it was just, I can't. I feel lucky. I'm not even being negative. It's really weird. By the way, I'm telling you this now before we begin. I have shows that you need to come to. December 3rd in Westchester, in Scarsdale. I'm at B-Side Comedy. The early show sold out. I have a 9 o'clock show. Get your ass there, okay? Or die. And then I'm going to be at the Chosen Comedy Festival in Miami on December 14. I'm at the Boca Black Box Theater on December 15. I'm going to be doing Christmas Day at Stand Up New York. In New York City, because the Jews need to go laugh. And what else do I have? I'm in Sellersville, Pennsylvania in January, and I'm at the DC Comedy Loft. Oh, Sellersville, I'm there January 21st. I'm at the DC Comedy Loft January 26th, 20 to 28. Who cares? All right. Go to my fucking website and look at my gigs. But first of all, and democracy won. So can you fucking believe it? What a great week. Even though fuckface, I don't even want to talk about him with his stupid like announcing, like no, everyone hates him. It's fucking kids won't even, whatever. So that's it. I'm 60. I love all of you. I love that you're going to fucking love this episode. Fucking love it. It's amazing. I love Al Franken. He's so fucking smart. And I just, yeah. And he's a great guy. And I got to thank Laura Vogel and, you know, and Brittany. I can't even tell you. I mean, I'll thank them at the end, but they really worked their ass off to do this live podcast and the Midnight Theater and the staff there. And just the fact that I've got to lose weight. That's really important because I've been eating cake. But yeah, so sit back, relax, and enjoy part two of my conversation with the one and only Al Franken.
So you leave after 95. Did you really leave? You wanted the anchor spot and I wanted to update, and I wanted Norm McDonald.
And they picked Norm McDonald, which I think was the best, in retrospect, better choice because right. One, he's hilarious, was hilarious. And two, I really, my political bias, I'd already made pretty clear by then. I don't think that was probably right, but I'd always wanted to do Update, and I didn't get it. And I said, I've been here 15 seasons,
right?
So it's time to leave. And then that's when I wrote Rush Limbaugh as a big
right. You started writing political satire. Now, your parents, when you became so successful on SNL, were they proud?
Very proud.
They were. They weren't like. Of course. They didn't care that you.
No, they were. They were very supportive of my brother being a photographer. They were very supportive of me being a comedian. They were thrilled.
I love them. You were very close with Paul Wellstone.
Yep. Well, I was. He was a good friend.
Yeah, and.
He was a good friend. You know, there's a lot of people who say like, this person Paul Wellstone was my mentor. He wasn't, right. You know, or that kind of thing. And we were friends, and I really admired him tremendously. Yeah. We were good
friends.
Even
though his name was changed from like with. Wellstonowitz of its or whatever.
I'm sure it was Wellstein or something, yeah. But I don't know. I don't think he didn't change it.
No, I know. Yeah. I just had to put that in there. When did you know I got to run for office? I got to do this.
Well, that's pretty, I know exactly when. Or I didn't say I have to, but this is what happened. So Paul won in 90.
Right.
And it was an amazing upset. And he'd been a professor at Carleton College. And then he wins again in 96. And then in 2002, he's running for re-election.
Right.
And he's in a dead heat with Norm Coleman, the Republican. And in October of 2002, he's got a vote on the Iraq War, and he's against it. And a pretty sizable majority of Minnesotans were for going to war. So he's in this dead heat, even in the polls, and he votes against it. And he said to his friends, including me, I think this is the end of my career, this vote. The next poll came out, and he was ahead by 7 points.
Wow.
And that's because Minnesotans respect people. A politician who just votes the way he believes. They just respect that. So he was going to win that race, and then his plane went down.
I can't. And his wife and his daughter were on that plane.
And three aides and the two pilots, of course. But it's horrible, horrible tragedy. And Coleman ends up winning the race. And in April, I think, March or April of the next year, after Coleman's been in office for like 2 months, he does an interview with Roll Call, which is a Capitol Hill newspaper. And he says this: to be blunt, I'm a 99% improvement over Paul Wellstone. And when I read that, I went, who the fuck is going to beat this guy? And I thought, okay. And I moved back to Minnesota. And I started doing Air America right after
that. Yeah, you had a radio show.
Yeah, I moved to Minnesota to see if I would be the best guy to do that. And I started in the 06 campaign. I went around the state campaigning, you know, doing fundraisers for other Democrats, DFLers, Democratic Farmer Labor Party, that's our party there. And people responded, and I said, I think I could do this, and I did it.
What did Franny say when you said, I'm
going to... Go ahead and do it. And she was great. I wouldn't have won without her at all. Yeah.
What a story. What the shift. Now, you know, I always say it's not a coincidence that Zelensky is so successful and he's a comedian. I think that they are related.
We're the bravest people in the world.
Well,
comedians, Jewish comedians especially.
Right.
And Jewish comedians who go into politics.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, he and I are the two bravest
people in the entire world to ever exist. But I've heard you say he's a performer. He knows how to communicate to a crowd.
Of course.
So here you are. I mean, I know how a comedian's mind works. Yeah. Like everything is a joke. No matter what happens, you're like, oh, you find the joke.
Right.
So here you are and you can't say what you're thinking, right?
Exactly. Everything I had done in comedy during the campaign was put through the dehumorizer.
Right.
This is this machine developed by
that's going around the country now, the dehumorizer.
The machine's been updated.
Yeah.
It was originally Israeli technology.
Right. Sadly.
And, okay. But, and then, so I won by 312 votes. I had this long recount.
Yep, you know, I remember.
We're looking at Nevada now, and there may be a recount there. There may be a recount in the Boebert race in Colorado. Mm-hmm. So long recount, I get there, and I just want to, I know that I just got to prove to the people of Minnesota that I'm there to do the work, to put my head down, be a workhorse, not a show horse. I don't do any press except I'm asked to do all the meet the press, all that shit.
Right.
And I go, nope. I just do Minnesota press. And my team says, do not be funny. Don't be funny. Don't be funny. I just put your head. And I go, I know. I understand. Put my head. Just don't. And they go, don't be funny. I said, I got it. but I didn't really internalize it.
Right.
And so the first day I'm there, and I get sworn in, which was just a thrill.
Like, were you freaking out? Like, could you believe this is happening to you?
I could. It took so fucking long. It was like a 6 month, 9 months from when I won the election to when I got sworn
in. But is it weird winning by such a small majority? And you're like, oh, they don't really. Like, I would be so insecure. Well, like,
it wasn't that. It was that I just went, I got to show people why I'm here.
Right.
So, I take the subway back to the office. It's the first time in my office, and it's in the Hart Building. And I go up there, and I go to my desk, and there's a slip paper there. And I learn that one of your duties as a senator is to write congratulatory notes to constituents. And this first one was for Ruth Anderson of Marshall, Minnesota, who's turning 110. And so I got out my official stationery for the first time, and I wrote, "Dear Ruth, you have a bright future." So my new assistant comes and takes it to my new chief of staff, and he's in, "What is this?" And I said, "It's a joke." And he said, "Uh-huh. You think Ruth Anderson will find it funny?" And I said, "I don't know. She's 110.
Yeah.
And he said, "Okay, you think her family will find it funny?" And then I started thinking, oh, yeah. And I thought about, like, her 90-year-old son reading it.
Yeah.
"You've got a bright future." "Well, that's pretty mean. But it's funny." Right. You know.
What'd you change it to?
"What's your secret?" I think it was like.
Didn't that kill you a little bit inside?
It did.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, that family will love that joke.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I
which
would
is
love,
not
yeah.
that's meant I wasn't cut out to be a senator. So, they said don't be funny on floor speeches, don't be funny in hearings, like. The second week I'm there, Sotomayor hearings, and I'm on judiciary. So she was a prosecutor, and she said something about some other questioning. She said, I became a prosecutor because I watched Perry Mason. So it gets to me, and I go, like, why'd you become a prosecutor from watching a show where the prosecutor lost every time? And she said, well, actually, he won once. And I said, okay, well, we'll get back to that later. Right? This was at the beginning. I had 30 minutes questioning. So I had developed my question. I didn't have time. I had about a minute and a half left at the end. I didn't have time to develop a new line of questioning. So I said, well, okay, you said that Perry Mason lost one case. What was the case? And she goes, I don't know. And I said, didn't the White House prepare you? Which is, I just...
Right.
You know, and big laugh. And then, does Al Franken have to be funny? I mean, really, I got this criticism.
Oh,
of,
God. I don't think.
And it was clearly not, like, I didn't go, okay, Judge Sotomayor, I'll ask, what did he lose? You say, I don't remember, and I'll have the joke. I mean, it was just clearly something.
It's because they're jealous. Don't you think it's because they can't do that?
No, it was because they're the press. It wasn't the other senators complaining.
Right.
It was the media going like, oh, good. We got him. I got a story here. I got something I can write.
Right.
Some bullshit thing I can write that'll get readers and now clicks, you know.
Right.
And that's all it is. That's all it is. This is... More digestible for readers than something actually important and serious.
Right.
Hey, everyone. I have a new sponsor, and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co, and it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
Were you like pinching yourself like, oh my God, I am I'm in the Senate chambers.
Yeah, of
I'm like, who were you excited to meet?
Well, I was excited to meet President Obama.
Yeah.
You know, there were Carl Levin. I mean, I was, you know, I knew. Yeah, very good.
Yes, thank you.
You know, I was, there were certain colleagues there that I was, you know, excited to meet. The first day I got there, I'm on the floor and Carl was one of them. And I'm talking to like Leahy, who was, you know, one of the senior senators and a couple of others. And, they start talking about how bad it is. And one of them says, like, it's the worst it's been. And Levin goes, no, it's been worse. And I say, when? He says, 1854. And I go, Charles Sumner being caned? He goes, yes. And I said, well, okay, well, that was in the lead up to the Civil War. And he goes, yeah. But since then, this is the worst. And then since then, it's just gotten worse and worse and worse and worse.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with these people who are hateful? Like you said, Lindsey Graham is the funniest senator.
Lindsey is funny. I know you don't want to hear that.
How do you separate?
Well, Lindsey just became awful, you know, a few years ago.
Why do you think he became awful?
Because Trump was president and he made a decision. He wanted to be reelected in South Carolina. So he had to be a Trump supporter. And also he likes being in the action.
Right.
So that was his way to do it. There's a book called Thank You for Your Servitude that Mark Leibovich, who used to write for the New York Times, now for the Atlantic Monthly, number one New York Times bestseller, which is just about how all these Republicans caved to Trump. And Leibovich is a very funny writer, too. And But Lindsay is, so I'll tell you, like, Lindsay's main jokes were always about how cynical he is. And so I remember one Christmas break, we're leaving, and he said, you taking your family anywhere for sun? And I said, yeah, we're going to Vieques in Puerto Rico. And he said, and without hesitation, he goes, like, do two fundraisers, one for the people who are for statehood, one for the people who are against statehood. They never talk to each other. And, you know, and that's just, I'm cynical, is right. Was his jokes. And once I, when he was running for president in 16, we were in the bathroom, and I said to him, like,
oh, that must be weird. Well, I mean, Lindsey
Graham.
Is it
that weird to go to the bathroom?
I don't know. For guys, it is. Because you see, yeah.
No,
for men, yeah.
You're at a urinal and there's the thing.
Like, don't you go to a urinal and you're like, oh, you fucking asshole, you voted against climate change legislation? You know,
not
like,
at this point. I mean,
right.
You know, if it was Cruz at a certain point. But Cruz, yeah. Anyway, so.
We're getting back to that. Don't think you're
so
getting
So I say
with
to
that.
Lindsay, like, if I were a Republican, you know, I'd vote for you in the primaries. He goes, that's my problem. And so he's funny. He's just, you know, I mean, it's been disgraceful how he
right. So how do you
Trump.
How do you act civil to these people who are fucking horrible? They're terrible people.
Well, some of them I didn't act civil to, and Cruz is one, basically.
What is wrong with him?
Is there something wrong with him?
No, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. Right. Something wrong with him. And, you know, I tell the story about the first time I met him, which is just, well, I've said this, that I probably liked Ted Cruz more than most of my colleagues like Ted Cruz.
Right.
And I hate Ted Cruz.
Right. He's the most hated guy in Senate, right?
Absolutely. Lindsay said about him, if Ted Cruz killed someone on the floor of the Senate and the trial was held in the Senate, no one would convict him. Or no, if someone killed Ted Cruz, that was it.
Right. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I fucked up Lindsay's joke. Yeah. Sorry, Lindsay. Okay. The first time I met him, okay, so my dad, right, he didn't graduate high school. So when I'm in high school, I get this vocabulary book to study for the SATs. And it's Johnson O'Connor. Now, Johnson O'Connor was this vocabulary maven from like 1928. And he had this book had like, it starts with words that 55% of Americans don't know and ends with 99%. My dad didn't graduate high school. He knew every fucking word in the book. So he's doing it, and he's not looking at it. He goes, okay, sophistry. And I go, I don't know. And this is 99%. He goes, well, that's kind of, lying by using a fallacious argument. Dad, how do you know this? I don't know. So the first time I meet Ted Cruz, 2000, he gets elected in 2012, November 2012. A month later, Sandy Hook happens. This deranged kid with Bushmaster AR-15 kills 20 kids, 6 adults. So I sign on to the assault weapons ban. Cruz has been elected. I don't see him. He doesn't show up until January 3rd. He gets sworn in. He comes over to me. He doesn't say, hi, I'm Ted Cruz. He just comes over to me and says, anyone who's for the assault weapons ban is engaged in sophistry. So as soon as he says that, I go, what an asshole. He thinks I don't know what sophistry is. Sophistry is a word that's used a lot in law school,
right,
especially in mock trials and by lawyers, but I know what it is. So I go, okay, Ted, how am I engaged in sophistry? He said, well, Clinton's own Justice Department did a study on the assault weapons ban, said it didn't work. And I said, no, it didn't say that. You're talking about the 2016 report, and which only had a year of data to operate with because the bill was passed in 14. And it said actually it looked like it did work, that gun violence was reduced by 6% in 15, but they didn't have enough data to draw a statistically significant conclusion. Now he gets really mad because I knew what I was talking about. And he goes, well, you just read the report. So I go, okay. So obviously I'm familiar. I read about the report because I knew that was going to be one of their arguments. So I go back to my office. I go to my judiciary counsel and I say to him, Ted Cruz just told me, said to me that anyone who's for the assault weapons ban is engaged in sophistry. And my legal counsel who went to Harvard Law says, what's sophistry? And I say, okay, well, this is what it is. Okay. Yeah. I said, just go to the report, download, you know, get, print out the relevant part of it, and I'll keep it in my pocket. Next time I see Cruz, I'll show it. Next day, I'm on the floor. I see Ted across. I'm a big Jack Benny fan, so I go.
I love Jack Benny.
Yeah. So I go, oh, Ted. Ted Cruz. And he won't come over. I go over to him and I say, you know, Ted, yesterday you came up to me and said, anybody who's for the assault weapons ban is engaged in sophistry. And he said, no, I didn't.
What a fucking piece of shit. I can't. His daughters hate him. I can't wait till one of them.
Isn't that amazing?
He's such a lot.
Isn't that amazing?
How did he blatantly lie?
Well, he does it all the time. And right after the Paul Pelosi thing, he did some kind of, well, we don't know all this whole story. Might have been a male problem. You know, he did that. And they're just such pieces
of shit.
Why are
they such assholes?
And that's why, that's why Tuesday was so great. Because, you know, everybody said, oh, there's going to be a wave, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't know. Because polling is so bad, one. And two, Franny said she's not Jewish. She's Irish Catholic.
Okay. I mean, it's Boylston, right? Boys, her maiden name, Boys?
No, Jesus. Bryson.
Yeah. She looks Jewish.
No, she doesn't.
I said she does.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, so Franny, Franny, like last night or maybe the night before, said the American people basically said, stop it. And what it was the American people really. You know, at a certain point, you know, all these MAGA people, you know, the Republican Party, whatever percentage of them are MAGA people, it's a majority. And their deniers are a majority. But Americans just went, fuck you, stop it. Stop it.
Right.
You know, and it was really interesting that all these deniers who lost conceded.
I know, that's right.
Well, you know, there's the 2020 election was stolen. I know we went to court 60 times to try to prove it and lost every one of them. But last night I really lost. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck that was. It made no sense. But I think that Americans are going like, this is just dangerous.
It is.
And so I think really underestimated was the threat of democracy. And I remember people would go like, you can't use that as a... It's just inflation. It's people's economics. And there's an argument on that, which is they have no answer for inflation.
Right.
If you look at the Inflation Reduction Act, none of which is basically kicked in, but it caps pharmaceuticals for people in Medicare at $2,000. That's going to save people money. It allows Medicare to negotiate with pharmaceuticals. It's insulin. You can get, if you're a senior, you get it. It's capped at 35. It has... so much in it that is actually going to address this. It's also a worldwide problem. It's worse in Europe. You know, part of that is the war. You know what? Yeah, gas prices went up because of the war. You have to.
But they
we
just
have to
lie.
Help Ukraine in this war.
I know,
and we're going to continue it because a majority of Republicans, I think, know that we have.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV, and I love giving it to people and telling people about it, and it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV, And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration, that it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
Do you know which Republicans are saying the complete opposite of what they believe?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, it depends what part of what they believe you're saying. I still keep in touch with some of my former colleagues on both sides, but with the Republicans, I just give them shit all the time. And I they're friends, and I just say, you have to say the election wasn't stolen.
Right.
And then I'll write back. I have said a number of times that Biden is the president. And I just can't fucking believe it. And I say, this is dangerous, especially after this last thing with the Pelosi stuff. I went like, are you guys... You got to condemn this, you know. Right. You have to condemn this. You can't. I mean, this is obscene.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, and I think the American people looked at that. I think that really hurt them.
Right.
Because I think the American people looked at this and go, like, this is really beyond the pale. They said, stop it. Franny was right. Stop it. And I think that's what happened. And then also, of course, the Dobbs decision.
Oh, that's people the worst.
I did a podcast last week with just right before the midterms with Cecile Richards
right.
and David Axelrod. And Cecile, of course, at one point.
I love her.
Oh, she's unbelievable. And David, I really love David. He's a little bit more hard-nosed and really thought there was going to be right. a wave. Yep. and at one point, because she and I had talked about Dobbs and he went, and he was going to base his – he started it this way. Cecile, you're kind of known – you're known as – and then he couldn't think of what to say. And she said, the abortion lady, which I thought was really funny. And he went, well, yeah, but also as a really – and then he said something about the very savvy political mind. And he basically was saying, isn't Dobbs over? Not over, but isn't it peak and isn't it not? And she kind of, no, she said, no, it's really important to women, but also, you know, abortion has economic, you right. know, and she did a very sophisticated response, but he was wrong. And if you look demographically at who voted and how many young people, gee, why would young people care about abortion? And
I know these people,
young women, yeah. and especially, but young men too. And,
right.
and, so, and also that demographic is much more diverse. And the Republicans, I mean, who thought? Because I was going like, before this was happening, I'm going like, is there, well, have we lost our democracy?
Right. I have, thought that too.
Yeah. And I'm going like, you know, I've been thinking to myself like, you know, I've been thinking for a couple of years now, we're going to have a tipping point where we lose our democracy. And I started thinking in the last couple months, wait a minute, maybe the tipping point already happened. And it was a series of tipping points, which is starting in 2010, Citizens United.
That is the worst, the worst. We got to get rid of that. That corrupted politics. It's all about money, 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 money. There's no public servants anymore.
Well, it's dark money.
Yeah.
And you saw the flood of dark money
right.
and on these bogus crime ads, and it was ugly. But Kennedy, Justice Kennedy.
I hate him. I hate his fucking face. I hate the way his chin moves.
Anthony Kennedy?
Oh, You're talking about Kennedy. I thought you meant John, the senator.
Oh,
sorry.
You're talking about John Kennedy.
I'm sorry.
Senator
I'm
from
so
Louisiana.
Sorry.
No.
Sorry.
Justice Kennedy wrote the opinion
on
Citizens United. And in the opinion, he said, the great thing about this is there will be disclosure. And there isn't
disclosure.
And but we, in fact, we had a vote on the floor when we after Scott Brown had won and was now, we were, instead of 60, we were 59. So every Republican voted against disclosure. So my thing is like, okay, if you wrote the fucking opinion and in it you write, the great thing about this is it'll be disclosure, so it'll be transparent. Why don't you say, hey, guys, we have to revisit this.
Right.
You know, but no, they don't do that. Shelby County. Shelby County is 13. They get rid of Title V in the Voting Rights Act. Title V is preclearance, meaning that the Voting Rights Act in 65 included Title V, which said that the Justice Department, the federal government's Justice Department, has to review changes in voting law in jurisdictions that had traditionally suppressed votes of people of color. And that goes on 5-4. Roberts writes the decision and says, well, you know, these southern states and these jurisdictions, they've reformed. They don't do it anymore. Well, they don't do it because of Title V.
Right.
And Justice Ginsburg writes, that's like throwing away your umbrella while it's raining because you're not getting wet. Well, boom. Next day, like the Louisiana state legislature writes this, their voting laws. The 2 years later, because under Title II, the courts, it goes through the court system, it takes 2 years for the Fourth Circuit to say they targeted African Americans with almost surgical precision.
Right.
That was the wording. Well, then why doesn't Roberts go like, you know what? I was wrong.
Right.
Well, no, of course not, because he's a dick. I mean, basically, because he's not honest. He's not an honest person. And this court is illegitimate. Part of it was, not taking up Merrick Garland was unprecedented.
How did they get away? Like,
they got away
with
it because they had the majority and they could get away with it. What they did was they lied about their.
Right.
They said that they used a premise that didn't exist, which is that if you don't take up the Senate advice and consent includes not even giving the guy a hearing,
right.
And that had never happened before. And then,
Amy Coney Barrett in a week, she gets
8 days or 9 days before the election. And they had said, you can't do this in an election year. And of course, Scalia died in February. And McConnell said, well, there's already been votes cast in New Hampshire. Okay, you know, and so you can't do it during an election year. And now, then Coney Barrett, you know, Bader Ginsburg dies in September, late September, and boom, they just put her through, and so they get rid of the the non-existent premise.
I hate them.
Yeah,
I hate them.
There's a reason to hate them, and a reason to vote against them. And
I love talking to you. First of all, I have to commend you on your questioning of Neil Gorsuch. I found that to be very entertaining.
That was fun.
Yes, that was great. And his stupid fucking face where he was like this. What do you mean? Oh, did I really
say that? That was on the frozen trucker.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, we don't have time to go through that.
Okay, I know. But yeah. I just, I have, I miss you. We need you.
Well, yeah.
I know.
I miss
we
it, too.
We fucking need you so bad.
I miss it, too.
All right. I always ask my my podcast guests two questions at the end of the podcast.
Oh, okay.
All right. One.
I'm Jewish. Is that one?
Oh, yes. But Franny's okay, not.
Only, yeah. What's the second question? Okay, first question.
All right, number one, what do you do for to keep your mental health? The fact that Franny stayed with you, two months in, you said you had like a depression, and yeah. And then she stayed
welcome
with
to
you.
Me.
That was pretty damn good. What do you do to keep
sane?
Yeah.
I count my blessings. I mean, I have these four beautiful grandchildren. I have two great kids. I mean, our kids are just...
I know. Harvard and then Princeton.
Wow. Yes, but then the Princeton...
Went to MIT.
Went to MIT.
I can't.
For graduate school, where he got a master's in engineering and business.
I'm sorry, that is the Jew side of the family. I don't care what you say. Okay, here's my second question.
And the daughter went to Harvard.
Yeah.
And then became a did Teach for America.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, and became a teacher, and then was involved for years in the D.C. public school system.
Yes.
And it's just wonderful. Then she has two beautiful children.
Did either of them marry Jews?
Both of them.
Thank God!
One's a half-breed as well.
Well, all right, but whatever. Half-breed. Are they raising the kids Jewish?
Kind of.
Oh, great.
I mean, they know they're Jewish. They know.
All right,
yes.
As long as they know, because of what's going on in the...
no, they don't.
Country.
Right? We took a holiday picture, and it was all... It was just me and Franny and the four grandchildren watching TV. And so at the time, they were like, I guess, 8, 5, 5, and 2. And I just put the caption was Franny, me, and the grandchildren watching Judgment at Nuremberg. Because they're kind of, we're watching TV. And
all right. This is now I call my podcast Kill Me Now because I get aggravated at everything and I'm always saying like Kill Me Now, I can't take it. What pisses you off more than anything in the entire world?
Jesus Christ. I would say dishonesty.
Yeah.
That's just it. I just drives me fucking crazy. There isn't an honest word, obviously, that comes out of the sociopath, Trump's mouth.
Right.
But that these Republicans and these MAGA people, I mean, the disinformation. I wrote Rush Limbaugh's A Big Fat Idiot and Other Observations and Lies and Lying Liars Who Tell Them for him, point out then that there's all this disinformation being put out by people on the right and then... then it's just gotten worse since.
Right.
So that really pisses me off the most. It just drives me crazy that, and then the false equivalence that sometimes comes from the press and that kind of stuff. But basically it's that. That's what drives me crazy.
I cannot thank you enough. This was
thank you.
Such
I
an
can't
honor.
Thank you enough. How's that?
You are such a hero, and I wish you would go back and, you know, change the world. But you think we're on the right path, I hope.
I don't know. I mean, it's we can't take too much solace
I know.
From this, but hopefully, you know, when I get home, we'll find out that Cortez Masto is in the lead, and we'll take over the Senate.
Right.
And I hope that if majority of the Senate isn't at stake in Georgia, that there will be Republicans in Georgia who are going like, okay, I can't vote for that guy.
Right.
You know, it used to be that holding a gun to your wife's head was a disqualifier.
It's
amazing. And then
I did Rachel versus Guy with him and dumb as a brick. But he made good chicken wings.
Wouldn't it be odd if like Herschel Walker won and then became like a great senator?
He can't even complete a sentence.
That's like a fucking sketch. I think that's a good sketch. Yeah, it's just like good. Following his career over the years, he becomes Ted Kennedy. You know, he becomes like he becomes Robert Byrd.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Well, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, Al Franken. Thank you all.
Thank you so much for listening to part two of Kill Me Now with the one and only Al Franken. How fucking fantastic was that, huh? Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible without Brittany Jo Soward's Richmond, She Married a Jew. If you haven't subscribed, really, seriously, please leave a review. Then more people find it. Then I can do more ads. Not more ads, but I can get some money for the ads I do, and then I can keep it on the air, because right now I'm not, breaking even. But I love it. I love it. It's a labor of love. 5 stars only, please. I want you to know that I've maintained a 5-star rating on Lyft. Okay? I'm still at 4.49 on Uber, so I don't even use Uber now, because Lyft appreciates me. And I'm going to go with the one that appreciates me, even though sometimes they're a little more expensive. But, I get people being nice to me instead of Uber, who's probably like, oh, I wonder what this bitch's problem is, you know? I don't know what I did. I don't know what I did, Uber. I always tip. I always am like, you don't even know. I'm like, oh, my God, thank you. Your car is so nice. Have a wonderful day. How are you? Blah, blah. So I am doing a lot of commentary on the Chappelle SNL monologue. I talk about all this in my book. Yes, I can say that when they come for the comedians are all in trouble, which you can buy as a gift, a holiday gift. It's a great read. But I believe in free speech. Does some of the stuff make me uncomfortable as a Jew? Absolutely. Did I think there were some false equivalencies? Yeah, but it's harder when it comes from someone who, you like and respect, you know? But there's plenty of other people's things, comics say that I can't stand. I believe in free speech. And I think everyone's talking about it, and there should be discourse, and we should be talking about it, and people should learn the truth, because a lot of it wasn't true. But as a comic, I feel one way. As a Jew, I feel another way. And then I combine the two and I eat. That's what I do. I eat something. And that's working really well for me now that I'm 60. What else do I have to tell you? I really love Henry and Elisa. I mean, I love Ben. I love Ben a lot, but he wasn't there. But Henry and Elisa, I can't with all they did. And my friends Robin and Luann and Aaron Millie, like everyone helped with the surprise. And I'm still on cloud, nine. Why is it cloud nine? Can someone please write to me and tell me why it's cloud nine? Also, I want to say, everyone who writes to me to say that they listen to the end, I fucking love you. And let's see who's today's person who listens to the end is Gail Nestle. Gail, I want to thank you for listening to the end, Gail. You are a delight. I think you're from Canada, if I remember correctly. But I really appreciate you. So thank you for listening to the end, because I can't stand my fucking voice. Cannot stand it. So there's that. Please come to my shows. Please go to my website. Please go to, tweet. What the fuck's going to happen with Twitter? That's another thing. Yeah, what's going on with Twitter? I mean, he's such an asshole, isn't he? Like, it's just, why do you have to be such an asshole? Like these men and their fucking egos and like ruining people's lives and livelihood. Like, ugh, I just, whatever. So that I'm still on Twitter at Judy Gold, JEWDY. I know I have to go on another one, but Brittany Jo Soward's Richmond, who is my executive assistant, is like, can't deal with it right now. So great. But I'm on, I'm on the Instagram and the Facebook and the TikTok. I got to do more. I'm going to be doing more stuff on TikTok. I feel like I dropped the ball. I did drop the ball, but now I'm 60 and I can pick the ball up, even though my back hurts. It's an old joke. All right, I gotta go. This is going on way too long. But I love my CPAP machine, by the way. It goes up my nose and I can breathe. And I'm not snoring, and Elisa stays in the bed with me all night. It's the best part. All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Enjoy overeating. You know, it's a celebration of togetherness because Thanksgiving, you know, not a positive in the whole history of the United States of America, but whatever. You know, we're here, we're queer, democracy won, and now we can eat food. So enjoy, whether you're with friends, family, whether you're alone, whether you're doing something for other people, God bless you. Just enjoy and get those Black Friday deals because, you know, it's now or never. Thank you all so much for listening. And as we always say, so long.